We're beginning a new series this morning across all of our campuses and online as well, calling it The Essential Church. And we're going to take 5 weeks to talk about not only why the church is essential, but we're going to dive deep and look at exactly what the essentials of a church or a church family actually are. Right? We know from God's Word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, that the gathering of the church together is an essential thing. We know that if we want the presence of God in our midst, that the church is essential. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. And we also know what we have seen recently more and more, that the church family, that the gathering together like this is essential for our spiritual growth, but not only our spiritual growth, it's essential for our mental health as well. You may have seen an article that was published at the beginning of December this past year, 2020, that compared church attendance and our mental health, our outlook on life, right? Gallup released this study. It's done every year since 2001, and the people that participate in the study, they're asked to sort of classify, how are you doing, right? How are things going in your mind and in your world? And they took this group that answered, we're doing really well, we're doing really strong mentally and emotionally, and they just wanted to see what's going on in their lives, in their world, that's causing them to answer that way, right? Because historically, about 81 to 89%, a good solid B of the population would rate themselves as, I'm doing really well mentally and emotionally. But this past year, it dropped about 10 points into the C range. And so they researched to figure out why. What caused the drop, and how are some people really hanging in there? And here's the thing, that the only group overall that reported an increase in their outlook on life, an increase in their mental health, an increase in their perspective emotionally and mentally, were those who attended a religious or a church service, a church family gathering, consistently and weekly. Listen, we saw it last year more than ever. The church is essential. The family is essential. When we look around at what's going on in our nation, in our world, for us that are followers of Christ, you don't need to convince us anymore that the church is more essential now than it ever has been before. And we're going to look at that and explore that these next 5 weeks, just to figure out for us, so we can walk in and what the essentials of the church are. And the first one that we're going to look at really simply this morning, just at the top of your page, is knowing Jesus, right? That is essential for us as a church family. And in fact, today's message is titled, Knowing Jesus is Greater Than, and you can put a line there and fill it in with whatever you want. Just knowing Jesus is greater than anything else that we could hope to experience. And the incredible thing is, we open up God's Word this morning to Philippians chapter 3, and if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up there. We're going to see that regardless of who you are, who we are, where you're at in your faith journey, there's something very, very specific for you in God's Word, right? As we talk about what it means to know God, every single one of us is going to be able to say, okay, that's me. I think I fit in right there, and here is where God is calling me to go next. So as you open up to Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to tell you a story to launch us in to God's Word. You guys know that we've got three kiddos at home that are absolutely amazing, and we love them so much, and they're so much fun for us. But one of the things that goes on in our house right now, just the phase of life we're in, people tell me that it'll pass, is dinner time being a constant negotiation, right? Every time at dinner, it's like, okay, if you just eat a little bit more of this, you can have a little bit more of that. If you finish your broccoli tonight, you can have a little bit of ice cream when things wrap up. And it's just the phase of life that we're in, right? But not too long ago, we looked over at one of the kids' plates and all the broccoli was gone. We didn't have to say anything about it. It was just gone. It was off the plate. And we were blown away and very, very happy and excited. And so we tell his brothers, hey, look at this guy. He did it the right way. He ate all the broccoli. He cleaned his plate. You need to jump in and be like him. Chelsea's like, I'm going to go get you some ice cream right now. And so she's marching with his plate into the kitchen to get the ice cream. And I hear all of a sudden, are you kidding me? I froze, because that's not a good thing in our house. Didn't know if it was directed at me or somebody else. It wasn't me, it was the kids. And I turn around and on one of the boys' plates, the one that had cleaned his plate, where the broccoli was all gone, Chelsea had picked up his roll. She was going to throw it in the trash or eat it, I don't know. But she picked up the roll, and she turned it around. There's a picture of it they're going to put on the screen. And we found out where we found out where the broccoli went. And we learned a couple of things in that moment. The first thing is that my kids are geniuses, right? Seriously, hang out with them and you're going to learn something. But the second thing that we learned in that moment was that the inside didn't necessarily match the outside, right? And that's sort of the point, right? I'm sure at some point, every single one of us has said, listen, what's on the inside is what matters, right? What's going on deep down in your heart is the important thing, the thing that we need to focus on. And I think that we'd all agree with that because that what's going on the inside, our heart, our soul, the thing that drives us, right, drives every other aspect of our life. And so as we turn the calendar to a new year, as we kick off a year in January and think about knowing God, one of the traps that I think people fall into a lot of time is we make plans, we make resolutions, and most of them seem to be focused on the outside. Things like we need to lose weight, we need to eat better, we need to save money, we need to do this, that, get our calendar, our planner, all of those things together. And a lot of times we do that, and those are great things, right? I've got several of those written down for myself, but a lot of times we do that without first making sure what's going on the inside is right, right? We do it without making sure that our hearts are in the right place, because at the end of the day, right, the things that are on the outside, they don't save us. The things that are on the outside, that they don't change us, they don't give us peace, they don't give us hope, they don't give us joy, they don't give us purpose. These external things that a lot of times are focused on, they don't make us right with God. We're going to see as we dive into God's Word that everything is about knowing Him. And in 2021, my prayer for our church family is that God would take this truth from His words and that He would seal it into our hearts, that He would just cement it into our minds, the front of our heads all the time, just this concept that knowing Jesus is greater than anything else we could hope to see. Knowing Jesus is greater than anything else that we could hope to accomplish, right? Maybe you've made New Year's resolutions already. Go back and just put knowing Jesus at the very top of the list, because that's what's going to give peace, purpose, and clarity to everything else that's on the list, right? Paul wrote about it in Philippians chapter 3, so let's get to it. Look at Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, and as you do, just know that we're going to see that knowing Jesus is greater than everything else. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, God's word says this, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Listen, that I may know Him, that I may know Jesus, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain resurrection from the dead. And he's talking about heaven and eternal life right there. I hope that you saw the theme of this passage right here, that knowing Jesus is greater than anything else we might put on our list. Paul is the man that wrote this. He's a missionary, he's a church planner back in that first century, and he actually says, listen, I've made a list, and you can find his list of the things that he'd done. It's right in the beginning of chapter 3, those first six verses 1 through 6, and he says that it doesn't compare to the value that comes from simply knowing Jesus, being in a relationship with Him. And so as we step into this year, 2021, and a lot of us are hoping things are different, a lot of us are hoping that things are better, a lot of us are hoping that things begin to change, my prayer for our church family is that we would believe with all of our heart, right, every single one of us, that knowing Jesus is better than anything, that knowing Jesus is better than everything that we could hope to accomplish this year in work, and knowing Jesus is better than anything that could possibly happen in our work lives this year. Knowing Jesus is better than anything we could hope to accomplish in school, middle school, high school, college, acceptances, tests, all of that. Man, knowing Jesus is better than that. It's better than athletics. It's better than financial successes and accomplishments. It's better than relationships, new ones, old ones, growing ones. Man, it's better than the physical things that we would hope to accomplish. And everything that I just listed, listen, we place a high value on those. We place a high priority on those. We fix our schedule around those things. We fix our time around those things, our money around those things, our energies around all of those different things. But we've got to remember, as we look in God's Word this morning, that knowing Jesus is greater than all of those things. Look back at verse 8. He says this, I count everything, the things that we would list, he says, I count those as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as my Lord. We see in God's Word that there is this great worth, great value that's placed on knowing Jesus. And he's giving us an illustration, throwing us back to those first six verses. He says, listen, I've made my list, right? I've told you all of the things that I've done. He lists them out for us. And if he was to assign some kind of dollar value for all of the good things that he's done, when he got to the end of it and compared it to knowing Christ, he wouldn't say it's less than. He wouldn't say it's zero. He says it's a loss. It's a loss if he does not first know Jesus. And if we bring that forward into today's terms and made our own list that would sort of go along the list that Paul had there, we might say things like, well, listen, I take care of people. We might say that I give to charity. We might say that I feed the homeless, that I take care of the homeless. We might say I grew up in a Christian family. I've been to the church all my life. I've sang in the choir. I've been to VBS, all of those different things. But we see here in God's Word is that if we don't know Jesus as Lord, if we're not in a relationship with him, if we're not growing with him, if there's not some level of intimacy that comes from knowing Jesus, all of those things that we would list on our resume or put on the wall or say about ourselves, he says that listen, not only is it zero, it is a loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Look at verse 10. He writes that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And words mean something. Okay? The words that are in this chapter are so incredibly intentional. If you circle the word know in verse 10, I want to tell you something about it. Back then, there were a lot of different words that he could have used to write down the word know, right? There are many different things that are translated into English that would have gotten us to that concept right there. But the word know here in the original language, it refers to an intimate knowledge. This isn't knowing about something. This isn't knowing about a person, right? This is a two-way, back-and-forth, intimate relationship with God that he's talking about here. He's talking about something that's active. He's talking about something that's intentional. He's talking about something that is growing in a real way, and it's written this way, right? That word was used by God through the Apostle Paul when he wrote it so that you and I could know that a back-and-forth, active, communicating, intimate relationship with God is greater than anything else we could hope to see, know, or experience. Because here's the deal, right? When we know someone, it changes things, right? Right? When we have a relationship with someone, things in our life become different because of that. Right, earlier this week, Chelsea and I celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary, and it made me think back to our 10-year anniversary. We took a trip. And we were able to go up to New York, and we went on this trip. We had a friend that was in a really, really good Broadway play, Broadway musical. It won all these awards, and we had heard great things about it, and so we wanted to go and experience it. We wanted to support her. We wanted to be a part of it. We wanted to connect with her after the show, and she was incredible, and she was gracious, and she hosted us and got us tickets at this show that was sold out for like the next year, and we got to experience it and had an absolute blast, and she told us after the show, hey, come and meet me. I want to introduce you to everyone in the show and let you be a part of what's going on backstage. And we said, that sounds awesome. What do we do? She said, after the show, just go around to the side door and tell them that you know me. And we said, okay, that sounds easy enough. And the show was over, and we walked around to the side door of this play. I don't know what street it was on, but anyway, the side door of this theater, and we were like, oh, I don't know that this is going to work. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was not expecting thousands of people
to be up against this door trying to get in, trying to see what was going on behind the ropes. And I was like, forget it. Let's just text her and say, we'll catch up with her another time. And Chelsea goes, no, let's just go do what she said. And so we did. And we got up to the door, and we looked at this guy, and this guy's like, who are you? And we told him our names. And once we told him our names, he looked down at his paper. And he said, you know someone, don't you? It's like, I guess we do. And he goes, well, then come on in. And he brought us past the crowd, and he opened the door, and all of a sudden, we had access to everything, right? We were in the building. We were backstage. We were talking to everyone that was in the show. There was a handful of celebrities that were back there as well, and I think that Chelsea was very embarrassed that I didn't know any of them, and that's a story for another time. Just know that I was very embarrassing the way that that I handled that whole thing, but anyway, we're backstage now, and we've got access to all of it, right? Simply because we knew someone. Simply because we had a relationship with someone. And in that moment, our personal relationship, we didn't know about them, our personal relationship with a good friend, right, opened doors and changed everything. And as we read God's word this morning in Philippians chapter 3, God's word tells us that knowing Jesus, it doesn't just change some things. God's word tells us that knowing Jesus changes everything. Right, and then it changes us from the inside out, right? That the inside is what matters. The inside is what drives every other part of our life, right? When we know Jesus, all of life is different. All of life is better. All of life has purpose and meaning wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus. Have you experienced that? And have you experienced the goodness that comes with knowing Jesus? Listen, I am blown away by the fact that we can know him. I'm blown away by the fact that we can be in a relationship with him. We were talking to our kids recently, and we're outside, and we see this sun setting, and we look up, and just a sunset across the sky, and all of the different colors, and all of the different things, and we're looking at it, and we're blown away by it, and Chelsea does such a good job saying, boys, who made that, who created that, and they know that God made that, they know that God created that, and we talk about it, and we're like, listen, the God that made that, the God that painted the sky tonight, we get to know him, right? We get to be in a relationship with him. That's how much he loves us, is that we can know the God that has created everything. And when we know him, when we step into a relationship with him, we understand that knowing Jesus is greater than everything, that knowing Jesus is greater than anything else we could experience. And as we step into this year, you're thinking, okay, you've said knowing Jesus is greater than everything at least 100 times. By now, I get it, I understand it, but what does that look like? Right? What does it mean for me to know Jesus? I've been a Christian for 30 years, for 40 years. I became a Christian last week. I'm still trying to decide where I'm at in this place with Jesus. Wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus, I think when we say that we need to know Jesus, I think that when we say that knowing Jesus is greater than everything, three primary things come into our mind. And I'm just going to walk through the three ways that most people think when they think about knowing Jesus. And I'm going to tell you up front that the first two things that we're going to look at, they're not enough, right? Hopefully they lead us to the third, which is what God has created us to do and the way that God's created us to know him. But the first way I think that people strive to know Jesus is intellectually. Right, people try to know God, they try to know Jesus with their minds, right? And I'll just say, as we begin to explain it, that's not enough. We've got to go deeper than that, right? When we know someone intellectually, and there's no personal relationship, we don't really know them, right? We just know about them. It's a mind thing that never evolves into an active, two-way, growing relationship. And when we stop there, when we stop on that informational level, we never get into the relationship that God has called us to be in. When I think about it in the Gospels, when Jesus taught, he talked to a guy named Nicodemus, right? You might remember the story, but Nicodemus was a teacher, right? Nicodemus knew everything, and Nicodemus came to Jesus one night and said, okay, there's something different about you. There's something different about the way you teach. You teach with this new sense of authority that we haven't seen or experienced before. And he came to Jesus and essentially said, I want to know God. Right? What do I need to do to know God? And Jesus looked at him and said, all the things that you know are not enough. You have to trust. You have to step into an active relationship with God where it's not about knowing facts about God. You need to step into a place where you know God personally. Right? Just the intellectual thing is not enough. Just knowing about God, and that won't change everything in your life. Just knowing about God won't change the culture around us. Just knowing about God won't enable you to stand for the truth in a culture that's full of lies. Just knowing about God won't allow you to love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, just knowing about God, it's not going to get you through a challenging season, or as we just had a challenging year, right? We've got to know Him on a deeper level than just facts that we might fill our heads with. And listen, before you go out of here and say, Stephen said it's not important to know facts about God, that's not the case, right? Knowing about God is important. We should seek to know Him through His Word, through the knowledge that He has given us. We should strive for it, but we can't stop there. We've got to go deeper than just knowing about Him. And that leads us to the second way I think most people think about knowing God, and that's experientially, right? People have an encounter or an experience with God, and for most people, prayerfully, that's just the beginning of a growing relationship with Him. Right, I grew up in a home that maybe some of you guys grew up in as well, where my mom and dad, from as early as I can remember, taught me about Jesus. Right, that they told me about God, that they read things with me. I can remember so many things from when I was a kid, learning about God. And the goal of that, the focus of that in my home the entire time, was that my younger brother Brian and I would both grow up to be people that had an encounter with God that led to a relationship with Him. And that happened in my life. Right, when I was 13 years old, I had an encounter with God where I placed my faith and trust in Him, and I became a follower of Christ. I became a Christian, right? I was 13 years old. I was at a summer camp put on by Champion Forest Baptist Church. Moms and dads, get your kids plugged in to kids and student ministry, right? But I was at this camp, and I heard a pastor talking about knowing God, sort of like we're talking about today. And he said, hey, listen, guys, if there's something that's going on in your head or your heart right now, if you're thinking, man, I want to know God, or if your heart's beating in a little bit different way because you're thinking, man, this is available to me and I haven't trusted in Christ yet, that then step forward. And I had this moment where I was like, you know what? That's me. I know a lot about God, but it's time for me to have an encounter with God. It's time for me to trust God, to take that step of faith. And so after the service, I stood up and I went and I talked to somebody. And I just simply said, I'm ready to know God. And it was in that moment where somebody opened God's Word with me. I had an encounter with Him where I prayed to place my faith and my trust in Him. And I know many of you guys have had a very similar experience where you've had this encounter with God that's changed everything from you. You've had this encounter of God that was the beginning of a brand new relationship. But I also know this, that it's very possible that in the room with us this morning or that watching online, that there's some people that might just say, you know what, I know the facts about God. I know a lot of things from God's Word, but I've never had an encounter with Him. And if you'd say that's you this morning, my prayer is that you would know God in a different way today, that you would have an encounter with Him that leads to a relationship. The guy that wrote Philippians, the letter, the book that we're reading from this morning, Paul, he had an experience like that. He encountered God, and it changed every single thing for him. And once he had that encounter, he talked to other people that were already followers of Jesus, and they let him know, hey, listen, this is just the beginning of the rest of your life in a relationship with God. Right? We see that God never intended for that one encounter, that one experience with Him, to be our last encounter with Him. If that's the way that we're walking through life, then we have completely missed everything that we see in these verses. We have missed the invitation to be in a relationship with God. Listen, when we learn about God intellectually, we get the information, right? When we experience Him, when we encounter Him, we've got that opportunity to step into a relationship with Him, to become a Christian, to become a follower of Jesus. And then God's desire for us is to move into a place where we know Him intimately. Okay? God created every single one of us in the room, every single one of us at home, to know Him intimately, to be in a relationship with Him. And that's what this passage is all about, right? Paul, the guy that wrote it, he knew about God, but he knew that it wasn't enough. He had this experience where the knowledge moved from his head to his heart, and he became a child of God. All right, in Philippians, we see that he made that his one thing in life, right? Knowing Jesus. It wasn't just a moment in his life, right? That encounter or that experience with God was a moment in his life that led to a movement where he pursued God the rest of his life. And that should be true of each and every one of us. When I was 13 years old, that was a moment in my life. If you've trusted Christ, that was a moment in your life. And what we see in God's word is that needs to lead to a movement where we know him more and deeper and more intimately each and every day of our lives. And that's the goal. That's the goal for 2021. That's the goal for the rest of our lives, knowing him intimately, moving one step closer each and every day. Look, if you've still got Philippians 3 open, look down at verse 12. In verse 12, we see that this guy that's had this encounter with God, he's a missionary at this point. He's a church planter at this point. God is using him to change hearts and lives all over the world. But in verse 12, we see that he is still pressing on, right? There's movement there. In verse 13, we see that he strains forward. That's the only time this verb is used in the entire New Testament. And it's to show this guy that a lot of us would look at and say, man, he's got it all together. He's got it figured out. He's walking closely with God. What does that guy need to do? He says, listen, I'm straining forward. It's this image of a runner that's in the race. He's close to the finish line, but he's not there yet. And he's straining forward with everything he's got to get closer to his end goal, and that's knowing Jesus more. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're part of the church family, let me just say that in 2021 and in every day of our lives, that God has called for there to be movement in our hearts towards him. I heard a quote this week. It really connected with me. It's this: God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates. Do you hear that? God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates. I think there's people that a lot of us would think and look at and say, man, they walk intimately with Jesus. They've got a vibrant, growing relationship with God. There is something different about their heart and the way that it is connected to God's heart. And let me just tell you that as you look and you see other people with that going on in their life, every single one of us has been invited into this close and deep and intimate relationship with God. And as we follow, what we see here is we move closer to him. We can experience that more and more each and every day. And that same thing is true of us. And as I thought about that, God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates, this thought popped into my mind. The only thing that's stopping any one of us from being intimate with God, from being intimate in our walk with Jesus, is us. Listen, don't be satisfied with a moment in your life. Don't be satisfied with an experience that you might have had years ago. Don't allow your heart ever to harden. Don't allow your relationship with Jesus to slip to a place of unimportance in your life. Don't walk through life ignoring the invitation that God has given you to grow close to him. Listen, seek to know him intimately. Lean in, strain forward. Let the moment that you trusted in Jesus turn into a movement as you seek to know God intimately this year. Listen, wherever you're starting this year in your walk with Jesus, my prayer is that each and every one of us would daily grow closer and more intimate with him. Maybe you started this year, maybe you came in this morning with some facts about Jesus in your head. Maybe you would say, I know a couple of things about the Bible, but I have never experienced him. I've never had an encounter where I surrendered my life to him and became a Christian. If you would say that this morning, don't leave here today without encountering God and trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you would say, listen, I've had an experience with Christ at some point in my past. Maybe you'd say it was like me, right? That you trusted God as a kid or a teenager at a camp somewhere. But you would say this morning, you know what? I've had that experience. I've had that encounter. But I'll just tell you that I'm not growing in an intimate relationship with him. Yes, I've had the moment, but there's no movement to grow in my walk with Christ right now. If that's the case, I would just say let 2021 be the year where you would look back and say, man, that was the year I came to know God intimately. I made some changes. I leaned in. I strained forward. I pressed in to the invitation that God's given me. Man, if that's you, lean in this year and seek to know God in an intimate way. I promise you, it changes everything about life. And maybe you'd say this, you know what? I've had that encounter with God. I am walking intimately with Him. Let me just encourage you, if that's you and you would say that about yourself, look back at verse 12 one more time. Right? That was Paul, I believe, as he wrote this. He's writing this from prison. He's still got joy in his heart because of the intimate relationship with Christ. But in verse 12, he says, listen, in spite of all that, I'm not perfect. In spite of all that, I'm not there yet. He realizes that he has to keep moving towards Jesus. He's got to keep growing. So if you would say, man, I'm intimately walking with Christ, fight against an attitude of pride. Don't use your current walk with Jesus as an excuse to be complacent or to stop growing, but keep pushing. Strain forward, just like he tells us here, to a fuller knowledge of Christ. Right, and for all of us, wherever we're at, my prayer is that God would move in our hearts today, that He would move us closer to Him, that He would seal in our hearts, that He would seal in our minds the truth that we see in His words, that knowing Him, that knowing Jesus is greater than everything. And with that in mind, I want to close with one question. Right? That there's not a lot of different application points that I want to give today. My goal, my hope, was to let God's word speak for itself so that we could all know that knowing Jesus is the primary thing, that knowing Jesus is everything for us. And with that in mind, here's just one question that I'll close with as a point of application, and that's this. What's one thing? Just one. What's one thing you could do to know Jesus more this year? One change that you could make in order to pursue the one thing that matters most. Right? What sin, what activity could you throw off this year in order to know Jesus more? What's one thing that you could begin doing that you aren't doing right now to grow in a relationship with Him? Listen, don't underestimate the power of one change in your life, one change in this area of your life, one change in your life that affects your relationship with Christ will change every other area of your life. And it'll change your spouse's life. It'll change your kids' life. It'll change your friends' lives, your coworkers' lives. It'll change the lives of people that are gathered around you right now in your church family. So that's the question. What's one thing that you could do to know Jesus more this year? And don't overthink it. All right, I asked myself this question, and the thing that God revealed to me was this. It's simply to be more intentional with my time after my kids go to sleep, right? My body is still awake. My mind is still alive. I've got this window of time, prime time, every single night that I can do something with, and I feel like God's calling me this year to make a change there, to grow closer to Him, to use that time to know Jesus more. So take a second. Think about it. Get your one thing and write it down and let God change your relationship with Him each and every day. If you're not already, let me just suggest spending time in the Word of God on a regular basis. As we talk about the essentials of the church, the next several weeks, we know that knowing God, man, it's possible through the Word of God. In fact, today, our church family is going to launch a Bible reading plan. I'm going to jump in. I hope that you will too, called the Essential 100. It's 100 days through Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, a couple of chapters a day through God's Word. Chelsea and I have already started a different reading plan. I'm going to use this one in the car. Put on YouVersion and hit play and listen to it as I go from place to place or to work each and every morning. We've got bookmarks out there. Grab it as you go and join us, jumping into the Word of God on a daily basis. Maybe that's your one thing this year. But whatever it is, let me just say, we've all made plans for 2021. All of us want to see it be different. All of us want to see it be better. All of us want to experience things this year that we didn't get to experience last year. My prayer is that we'd be focused on what's going on the inside, that we'd be focused on what God is doing in our hearts, and that above all else, we'd make 2021 about knowing Jesus, because we know that knowing Jesus is greater than anything else we could hope to see or experience. Would you pray with me? as we take a second to just bow in prayer this morning, I just want to invite you to think about knowing Jesus. And maybe even to say a prayer this morning, say, Jesus, this is where I'm at in my relationship with you. And this morning, if you would say, hey, you know what, I came in here knowing about Jesus, or knowing a little bit about Jesus, but I don't know Jesus. Maybe you're watching online, someone sent you the link, and you'd say, I know about Jesus, I know a little bit about God or about the church, but I don't know Jesus. This morning, my prayer is that you would come to know him. If you're at home, just text the number that's on the screen. Text your name, and we'd love to reach out and pray with you. If you're in the room this morning and you'd say, I don't know that I've got a personal relationship with God, while everyone else's head is bowed and their eyes are closed, would you just look up at me and say, I'm not sure that I know God. I'm not sure that I'm in a relationship with him. And if that's true of you this morning, those of you that are looking up at me right now, let me just point, right? The back of the room right there, as you walk out on that side, we've got a prayer room, right? And I just want to encourage you this morning to do exactly what I did when I was 13 years old and walk back there and say, I'm ready to know God. Louis Miori's outside. He's got a red sweater on. You saw him up here earlier today. Just say, I'm ready to know God. And they'll pray with you. And everything in your heart and your life can be changed this morning. Maybe you'd say, you know what, I know Jesus, and today's my day to let the world know that I know him. You'd say, you know what, I need to get baptized. So go back to that prayer room. Say, I'm ready to be baptized. Or maybe this morning you're sitting in here and you're saying, you know what, thinking about knowing Jesus this year, I need to commit to moving closer to him each and every day. I've had a moment, now I'm ready for God to move in my life each and every day for the rest of my life. You'd say, I've sort of put it on the back burner, it's not a priority. And let God work in your heart this morning. Let that truth awaken your relationship with him and grow deeper and closer with him each and every day in 2021. God, we love you, and God, we're thankful that we can know you. God, we're thankful that you created us to know you. God, we're thankful that when we look around, when we think, God, what is missing in our hearts and in our lives, God, your word tells us it's you. God, we need you. We need to know you. And God, we thank you for that opportunity. God, I pray that each and every person in here today would move closer to you. I pray that people that don't know you would trust you, God, that they would become a child of yours this morning. God, for those that do know you, I pray that we would strain forward into a more intimate relationship with you in this year. God, we love you and we trust you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand for worship and sing in response to God's word this morning. If you would like to talk to someone about knowing Christ or pray about anything else, our prayer room's right back there and it's open. Let's sing together.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.